Bless you. Thank you very much for your welcome. It's just so good to be here. And I just love worshiping. Kay and I just love worshiping Jesus with real people. So it's good to see you. Whether you've got a mask or not, it's just good to worship Jesus and to be with real people. I want to thank you too as a church for supporting us, for being behind us. Every month we are so grateful to have a financial gift. But more than that, we so much appreciate the full support that we get from you and the sense of you being with us. I want to say a special thank you to Dave, my friend Dave, who... a good round of applause for Dave. Because every month he nudges me, says, we got our missions prayer, what can we pray for? And he doesn't let me go until I give him points for prayer, points for praise. And just so grateful for you as a church that you are really helping us, you're really supporting us in what we're doing, what we believe God has called us to do and to be in South Africa. It's just for a season, but we're there to do what God wants us to do. We do believe, and we need every strength and every help and every inspiration that we can to do what we do. Emmanuel Press does an amazing ministry, amazing service. It's bringing God's word to people, bringing the written word of God to people. We cannot truly exist without the written word of God. You can't get saved without the written word of God. You can't follow Jesus without the written word of God. There are so many ideas, so many weird and wonderful ideas in the world today of how to do this and what to do and how to become a Christian and how to live a Christian, but you cannot fully understand it without the written word of God. It's our basis. It's our whole foundation. It's our faith. We build our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the living word, and we have the written word, and it's so important, so valuable. Whether you have it on paper or whether it's on your phone or however you have it, we need the word of God daily to strengthen us. And where we work in Africa, there are so many crazy ideas. There are so many weird and wonderful ideas connected with culture, connected with ancestry, connected with traditions, connected with tribal systems. The people need the word of God brought to them. And for over 80 years, Emmanuel Press has been doing just that. That's a bit of the heritage. A bit of the happenings now is when we came over here, we had to find someone who would stand in for us in some way. And we have a beautiful girl called Salome, and she is absolutely the business. You know, when God provides someone, he always provides the right person. When we push in and try and make it happen, sometimes we can make a bit of a meal of it, a bit of a mess of it. But when God brings someone in who's the right person, it's a wonderful thing. Salome is a young African girl. She's highly educated. She knows more about computers and technical stuff than I do, which is not saying a lot. And she speaks six languages fluently. And that's such a blessing in Emmanuel Press, where we produce courses in 12 different languages. To have someone who speaks so many of those languages and can understand people when they come to visit, it's such a blessing, such a wonderful thing. But we have been a bit handicapped through this whole COVID season. Schools have closed to us, prisons have closed to us, no visitors there. The postal service, it's kind of challenging because sometimes they decide we don't want to work or we can't work on, and people get the message that if you pop something in the post, it doesn't always get there. Even if it's just half a mile away, it doesn't always get there, never mind other countries. So Emmanuel Press, that is depended so much on the postal service, is really struggling to find ways. There are other ways. Of course, there's the internet, and there's using pastors and other people who can take lessons, but it really is a struggle and a challenge for us to find ways. So we can appreciate your continued prayer that God will teach us and guide us down the right ways, the ways that are fruitful. And then, of course, we have a great hope for the future. Got in my pocket a real genuine Olympic baton for a relay race. And I realize that Kay and I are there just for a limited period of time. We're there on our moment to do our work on our shift. And the whole purpose of us being there is not just to say, oh, well, we've done our stuff and now we can go home. That's great, that's got that done. The important thing is that we actually hand this on to someone else and we make sure they've got it before we let go. You've watched a relay race, I guess, sometimes, and you've seen them fumble and oops, oops, and they don't make the race because they drop the baton. We want to make sure that we hand the baton on, and the person behind us, God's person, God's people, they get a hold of it and they run. They run. I was going to say, but I'll say like heaven. They run for the kingdom of God. They run for God's purposes to be fulfilled before Jesus comes back again. And we want to do it well. So next time you see a baton in a shop or in your house or on the screen in a race, think of Emmanuel Press and pray for us that we shall hand the baton on well to whoever's coming next. Now, if you have a Bible, please would you turn to Psalm 27. Everything that's been said and done this morning has kind of fitted in with what I want to say. Psalm 27 is very interesting and it's become quite famous over this COVID period. I guess Psalm 91 and Psalm 27 are two of the most popular psalms in this period of time when we're going through it, and it's very difficult. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? You have no good reason to be afraid. But I guess every person here, especially in this last year or two, has had times when I'm really scared. What if I got COVID? What if I died with COVID? And although it's such a tiny percentage of people of any population that actually die from it, we are terrified at the thought that it might come behind our front door. But the Lord is my fortress. And we try and encourage ourselves a bit with these wonderful words. When evil people come to devour me, when enemies, foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surround me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. And then we come to the verse that I want to really emphasize. There's one thing that I'm asking of the Lord. I wonder what the one thing in your life is that you're asking for the Lord. He says, there's one thing that I'm asking of the Lord. And then the next phrase is about the most logical, sensible phrase, but we sometimes think it's different. That will I seek after. Can you say this morning, this one thing I want from the Lord, the one thing I'm asking the Lord about, and what my heart is really wanting, and what my heart is seeking after, are the same thing. It's one and the same. So you may have a great ambition for your life. You may have a great longing for your heart. You may have a great desire within your soul. This is what I want to do. It may involve finances. It may involve position. It may involve people around you. But what's the one thing you long for? Do you know, I was enjoying this morning. I was just loving this morning, loving Jesus. Oh, it's nothing to do with this building. This is just a pile of bricks. To be in his temple, to be in his holy place. You see, the one thing I seek most, he says, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, there's not one of you here, I know for absolute sure, not one of you here will spend the next 24 hours in this building, or the last 24 hours. Because you just love being in. We're not talking about buildings. We're talking about the place. The place of his holy presence, where nothing but nothing disturbs it. People may chase you, diseases may run after you, but nothing moves me if I'm in this place. He will conceal me there when trouble comes. You see, trouble will come. I have a word for you this morning. Trouble will come. But if I'm concealed beneath his shadow, beneath his wings, in his arms, whatever word we use, they're all sort of words that we use to describe what we can't describe, about being in his presence where you are so, so safe. You are so secure. Kay and I heard a terrible account. I got a WhatsApp from South Africa yesterday to say that a dear Christian lady, her husband was out checking the fences on his farm, and she had been murdered in her own home with her son. That's kind of not news in South Africa because it happens. So, but our hearts were touched So grateful that she's with Jesus. Whatever her tormentor did, 8 o'clock last night, her and her son went to be with Jesus. We say that's a terrible tragedy, and so it is. But he who dwells is actually not fazed by death. I want to be in that place. I want to be where it's all okay, always. And the psalmist was speaking prophetically about this in Psalm 27 when he spoke here in these verses. He says, I will seek the Lord. This is the thing I seek most. But you see, it affects how you live. Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, was talking to Martha. And he says, Martha, 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 don't be so bothered about this. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. What? Only one thing in your life that's worth being concerned about, by comparison. There's only one thing that really matters. And Mary here has chosen the better part. She's found it. What was Mary doing? She was just, Jesus, Jesus, I'm just listening to everything you're saying. Just being with you, just touching you. It just meant so much to her. Mary's chosen the best part. That's the only thing, that's the only thing that matters. This is the creator of the universe saying to a lady who's busily preparing a fine meal and busy making all sure all the practical issues are fine. He's saying, but actually Mary is sitting here doing nothing except soaking up who I am and loving me. Mary's chosen the better part. You see, there's one thing I desire, O Lord, that will I seek after. That will I desire, that will I want, that will I, with everything within me. And it takes determination. Can I say to you, it doesn't just happen to people who've got not got a job to do. This doesn't just happen to the unemployed. It doesn't just happen to people who don't have great responsibilities in life. This happens to people who say, I am going to do this. I have determined, I've made up my mind, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek him with all my heart. I've made a decision. So this other stuff, I don't need it. I make use of these things and they take their place in the priorities of my life. But this one thing I am pursuing. I'm like a heat-seeking missile. I will not let go. Can you imagine the runner? There he is. He's poised on the front line. He's ready to go. He's got to take this. That's the image that comes across again and again in the scriptures. You go for it. In the name of Jesus, the one thing in your life is the thing that matters so much. It'll be the driver of your life. Don't let other people, don't let pressures of life, don't let responsibilities be the driver. Be a responsible person, yes. But let him be the driver. Let my pursuit of him be the one thing in my life that I'm after. Because it will affect what you do. It will affect how you spend your time, how you spend your money. It will affect where you go and the places you visit. It will affect what you watch. It will affect what you listen to. It will affect what you say. If I can turn to a scripture that you know well in Isaiah 50, or maybe you don't know it so well. Isaiah 50, just before the great messianic Psalm 53. But Isaiah 50, this is amazing to me. This is a prophetic word that Isaiah wrote concerning the servant of the Lord, the one who would come, the great Messiah. And in verse 4, he says, the sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. Let God speak to you today. God will have a word to speak to you tomorrow, but he wants you to hear the word for today. And tomorrow when you get to today, he'll have a word for you that you must listen. Every day, day by day, he instructs me, he teaches me in his way. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away, verse 5. And verse 6, you know, I've offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. How come Jesus could do what he did when he went to the cross? How could he say, yeah, pull my beard apart, beat my back, crash a crown of thorns on my head, put the nails in my hands? How could he take that? Because he knew he was in his Father's hands. One thing he wanted to do. One thing he had his eyes set on. Luke 9:51, I read that Jesus set his face resolutely to go to Jerusalem. Was he a masochist? No. But did he just want to walk into trouble? No. But he wanted to do his Father's will. One thing. And I promise you, when you want to do one thing and serve God, you will hit trouble. You will hit difficulty. You will hit temptation. You will hit all sorts of assaults and opposition. But God, dwelling in his secret place, sitting at his feet like Mary did, will carry you through. It's a wonderful place to be. Such a wonderful place. Verse 7, this is amazing. He says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Was Jesus disgraced? Yes. Was Jesus disgraced? No. Because the sovereign Lord helped him. You see, you will have to go through some tough times at times, but the sovereign Lord, he is your helper. Stay in that. One thing I seek, one thing I long for, that I will seek after, that I will walk into. I want to know him. One thing is in my heart, to seek him first and to live his will first. See, verse 7 also says, therefore, because the sovereign Lord is with me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, like a stone, determined to do his will. This doesn't sound very reverent, but let me say it to you. Being a Christian takes guts. Being a follower of Jesus takes courage. Being a passionate lover of Jesus takes determination. I will pursue him. In our own strength, we'd say, oh God, I just can't cope. Peter said, I'll never deny you. And then he went and denied him. So you can make a decision this morning, and the likelihood is that you'll trip over. But what does God do to those who are cast down? He lifts them up because he sees the heart. He sees your heart clearer than you do. And if you have determined in your heart, I am going to make Jesus my lodestone, my magnetic north. I will make Jesus the one I pursue. I will sit at his feet when all hell breaks loose around me. I have determined. I've made up my mind. And then he says, I know that I will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let me finish with Philippians chapter 3. This is the verse that got me going on this. You see, Paul, he didn't have a great number of friends. If you read the end of Colossians, he wrote to his friends, and he said, oh, there's Archippus, I think, and Aristarchus, there's Luke, and there's Barnabas, and there's one or two other guys that have stood with me. The rest have forsaken me. I'm not Mr. Popular. He's only become popular since he died, and we read what he did. It's like a lot of great men and women who live on the earth. They become famous after they've gone. I never learned more about Prince Philip than after he died. It's amazing, isn't it? You learn about people after they've gone, but it's always been the same. You could say that about Jesus. What love. Amazing. Amazing grace. Amazing, matchless love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. I wonder how I could love him. But by my God, I will. God, I've determined. I've made up my mind. Whatever comes across my path, I've made up my mind. And this is what Paul was saying here. Verse 12, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things. And what is he talking about? He said, I want to know him. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. You see, part of me wants to die now and go to be with the Lord. But part of me says I need to stay here for your sake, so I'm not sure. But I'll go when God wants me to go, whether I'm young or old. He said, but I want to know him. Here's this mighty giant of a theologian and preacher and follower of Jesus. And he's saying, but I want to know him. I want to know his power in my life. And I haven't got there yet. But I want to know him. It's a pursuit. It's a race. We're running. Verse 12, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or I've already reached perfection. But I press, what does he do? I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. God has got his eye on you, and he's saying, that's my boy, that's my girl. If you could see how God sees you, you probably wouldn't believe it. He has a much better opinion of you than you do. But you haven't quite reached it yet. You've got some way to go. God wants to grow you up. You need to fill out to the full measure of the stature of Christ. But what does Paul say? He says, dear friends, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. I focus on this one thing. Let's come back to this man. I've just got the baton from the guy behind me, and I've just got it. What am I doing? Thinking, oh, that's a nice baton. What shall I do with it? He doesn't do that at all. He runs like stink to the end of the line. He's got one thing in mind. Only one thing. He doesn't care what the baton's made of, how heavy it is, what color it is, whether it's in good condition. He's not interested in that. He has got to get this baton over the line. And he goes for it. There's nothing. If someone says, hi, would you like a McDonald's? Could I just ask you a question, please? He doesn't hear any of that. He's got one thing in his mind, and he's going for it. And that's exactly what Paul's saying here. He said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking toward what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So I want to say to you, as I quickly wrap up, have one thing in your mind. And I pray with all my heart that one thing will be the same as is in God's heart for you.